Welcome to the Voices in Recovery podcast. Voices in Recovery is produced by Freedom's Path Recovery Society, a registered Canadian charity. If you enjoy the podcast, please consider a donation at www.freedomspathrecoverysociety.ca. All donations go directly to assisting Freedom's Path and providing services free of charge and helps us keep the podcast going. We are grateful for any and all donations. This podcast discusses difficult topics such as childhood abuse, drug and alcohol use, sexuality, sexualized trauma, and more. If you are under the age of 18, please speak with your legal guardian prior to listening. The opinions expressed during the podcast are those of the individual and not those of Voices in Recovery or Freedom's Path Recovery Society. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the podcast.
This podcast is being recorded on the traditional land of the Blackfoot Confederacy. This consists of the Kainai, Piikani, Siksika, and the Blackfeet in the U.S. We acknowledge the Stoney Nakoda, which consists of the Bearspaw, Morley, and Chiniki. We acknowledge the Tsuut'ina who are Dene, and the Métis Inuit status and non-status from all of Turtle Island, and those who are visiting. We are all treaty people.
It is much easier for me to do.
Yeah, rather, because then I'm just not so egotistical.
Well, and I don't like talking about it like that. Like, I even remember I was thinking about the Wings of Freedom event that we had, and I was thinking, like, man, I must have sounded like a moron up there. Well, I don't want you to feel pressure to donate.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't have anything, don't give anything. And then I'm like, that's not really how this works, right? Like, but that's how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't want people to feel pressure to do it. I feel like most people want to help something in some way.
Absolutely. Right?
And
yeah.
So, like, I think if they're presented with the options of being able to help, that most people will choose some of those options.
Yeah.
Right? If they can. You know what I mean? And of course, like, helping doesn't always mean giving money. Like, it can mean anything, right?
It could mean even volunteering for the next event or fundraiser or whatever.
Totally.
Right?
Or donating, like, art and stuff. So one of the things that's been happening, and we didn't talk about it outside, but I forgot about it, was that I've been sort of like thinking about doing another one of those auctions that we did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I've started to kind of accept some things that we would be able to do, like art and stuff like that. So, for example, she's an ex of mine, but she painted me a painting like years ago, and I have it still.
Yep.
I have it. And I think I've always found her to be an amazing artist, so I want to auction that off. And it's like an original, right? Like an original Selena Oakley. Like, it's pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was one of the first pieces I got, like, after quitting drinking. So it was like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was like part of that whole process, too. To make me feel a little bit less isolated. Yeah.
It was a little more human. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, doing some of those things, and I can't remember what the other items were right off the top of my head.
That was quite successful for
it
an
was,
auction, wasn't it?
Considering what we had, like, in terms of items to auction off, and I think, like, I'm just kind of opening that up. That's why we're even doing this episode this week. And, like, just so everyone knows, like, anyway, I'll just skip this part right here. I was about to talk about something I'm not going to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to, like, because, I mean, let me know where you want to kind of start, and we'll kind of...
Yeah, well, we've already started. It's fine, I think.
Okay,
But you double-check the beginning of that.
Okay.
But right here for sure, like...
Okay.
Because I don't want to talk about that, because it's not, like, my thing to talk about.
Yeah, so, well, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so where were we going? Where was I going? I love it, dude. This is like what I dreamt of all week. It totally is. You laughing.
Okay.
Like, me listening to you laugh.
You were talking about donating art.
Yes, and the auction stuff.
Yes.
And so, like, if people have, like, cool stuff that maybe, I don't know. I don't even really know what to ask for in terms of that, right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, if you have, like, you know, vacation packages you want to donate, you can totally donate those too. Not for me, but for auction, obviously.
Absolutely.
I don't need a vacation. I'm fine. Well, I guess
that's
up
arguable.
For, yeah, I was going to say it's up for debate, depending on who you talk to. But I think I'm doing okay. I'm alive, breathing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And we are. We're engaging. So we're also thinking about... It's been 6 months now like since we've been here.
Yep.
Right. I as soon as I say that, I'm like, it's also been like over 6 months for something really awful too. Right. Yeah. Like, and so I'm not trying to minimize, obviously I'm not, like, there's no, I don't spend a minute of a day not thinking about, like, and hoping that there's an end to genocide in Gaza. Like, and that's been, mm-hmm. you know, that's very real as well. And part of us being here for 6 months has actually opened the door for us to learn about that stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And to become more connected with humans, affected directly by it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and I think like that can only change you, you know,
yep.
like, and it's definitely changed. I don't know about you, but it's changed me for sure.
Well, absolutely. And what I love about this place is like those, there's a lot of events like that where mm-hmm. they have speakers coming in. So
yeah.
you're kind of just not even purposely sometimes, but you're just kind of, you're in and around it and you hear people
yeah.
talking and you find out this speaker and that speaker. And so it's been nice to have like some of those people then on the podcast
mm-hmm.
To kind of be more elaborate on their points, because it's, you know, they're speaking in an event, they have, you know, 8 minutes to speak
yeah.
and get your points across, and then you're off, and
yeah.
and so it's kind of nice to hear them kind of expand on their ideas and mm-hmm. stuff in a more open platform.
Yeah.
And so that's what that, I've really enjoyed about, especially about being here, is just the community of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, an event happens you don't even know is happening.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, geez, like you just kind of sit and listen for a minute and then you yeah. kind of get sucked in, right? Like,
that's how it happened, man.
Yeah.
I totally got sucked in.
And that's what I love about yeah. this building. Like, you don't get that yeah. in churches. You don't get
yeah.
that because, it, like, I mean, the whole time we were at the church, most of the time it was dead silent in that building because there was nobody there.
Yeah.
like,
no, it's true, man.
Especially after COVID.
But I was thinking that too. Like, but even on the regular, after COVID, there was nothing there. And I'm not sure exactly what the correlation is.
Yeah.
But,
well, it's just the community of it all. Like,
yeah.
it, you know, those are supposed to be community buildings.
And I think,
but yet there's no community there.
Yeah.
But you come here and there's yeah. a community here.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of nonprofits, but that's what builds the community. Is
yeah.
that, you know, this nonprofit can interact with that one, and then yeah. be like, hey, we can have, you know what I mean? Like,
and,
there's just,
and it's cool because there's always like the people are always here. Right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just, every time I'm here, there's people moving around. There's, I mean, right now there's a thing going on upstairs that I don't even know what it is. Like there's,
yeah.
there's just always something going on. And I feel like
yeah.
that's community.
Well, that's,
and that's where what yeah. you're doing is so,
that's what
it fits more.
Do. Yeah.
Right.
It's way more like fitting for us in terms of like just the, a broader community.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I know faith-based organizations, like they enjoy their own community. Right.
Yeah.
They have, it's just, and that's great. Like for me, it feels more open, like what I needed, right? Like
exactly,
what
yeah.
we needed to grow, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's been pretty awesome, like to,
yeah.
to be a part of that. Like I was down here earlier before you got here and I could hear people like running around upstairs and people
yeah.
over in the dance studio. And I'm like, dude, that's pretty awesome. Like there's just, and all at the same time, there's just so many different like things going on.
Yeah.
And like some of them are like polar opposite things.
Yeah.
Like, which is kind of cool. Like,
and I think the overall, and I don't mean to get all like, you know, mystical or something.
You're allowed
but,
to get mystical.
But
dude.
The overall energy though, I just find here is very upbeat. It's very like positive. And so like you said, you're hearing people over there in the gym and you're hearing some people getting ready for their event upstairs. Like
yeah.
it's always a kind of a positive energy that's there.
Totally.
And I think that's just contagious. I think it, you know, it when you're surrounded by it and you walk in the building and you just feel like it's mm-hmm. comfortable and there's, you know.
Totally.
I think that, and I know there's been a number of guests that have said they're glad that you're here over
yeah.
being in a religious
yeah.
building.
And pardon me while I choke on coffee.
That's fine.
I know, right? Yeah, part of that is just because people are just so constantly like moving, right? Like
mm-hmm.
with that vibration, like, pardon me, I have a travel cup I'm sipping from and I took too big of a gulp and it went down the wrong pipe. So hopefully Darcy can edit some of this out.
Well, you never
know. Yeah, he might leave it in there as a blooper rule.
Yeah, there you go.
as I'm dying. Darcy's laughing and slowly like,
Did you expect anything else, though?
No. And I would have been disappointed had you like, called for help right away.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I do have my phone in my hand.
You're my bro, man. Like, you have to wait and laugh a little bit.
Yeah, like, I got to get some video of it first, and then maybe make a phone call.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
No, it's just so cool being around. I guess it's more just like, you know, like humans. We'd like to be around people who are, like, kind of like-minded-ish, right? Like,
yeah.
And it is. Not gonna lie, man, it's this province is pretty tough to be like soft in, right? Like and it's like, you know, you just I don't even know what to say about it. Because I don't wanna go down a dark road. But the truth is, like, that's always here, and I think that's also why this place feels so good.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Because not just of where we kind of exist, but kind of the mentality of the where we exist.
Like exactly, yeah.
And there's lots of different mindsets, don't get me wrong. I know there's probably... You know, one of the things that kind of surprised me, man, like, I'm surprised by how even non-racist people will, like, try to make anything about race anything else. They'll try to make it about anything else, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
And I wonder why we're so apologetic for racists. Like,
I don't know.
Is that part of, like, have you experienced that with, like, white culture? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah,
We're just fucking ignorant.
It's like always that? The racist that gets the benefit of the doubt. Like, they didn't really mean it that way.
Yeah,
it's like,
dude.
No, man. Like, you don't tell that joke without meaning it that way. Or say that without meaning it that way. Like,
And how is it possible for white people to be able to determine when someone's been, like, racialized? Like, especially when it's by white
people. Well, because they don't do it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that doesn't make any sense. They, if they're not doing it, what is the problem?
Yeah.
Because they don't see that they're doing it.
So then, so is it like a cognitive blindness where we can't see our own stuff because we've been told it's nothing to see?
Well, I think this is the problem where things get hijacked, because this is literally what woke started as.
Yeah.
Is people, well, I shouldn't say where it started as, but like, when I think of the word woke, I think of people that start to think beyond themselves.
Yeah, I think,
and start to consider how others might be affected by the things they say or do or you know, purchase or whatever. They actually start to think about the implications of their own actions and their own words. That to me is when you've kind of woken up from your like, no, it's just go to school, then do this, then get a family, then have this, and don't ever think for yourself. Like, we just don't want you thinking.
How did it become a bad word, man?
I know, but that's how we make industrial producers.
Yeah.
Fine, and it's when you start to kind of grow up or at what point something will trigger somebody to be like, wait, but that doesn't make sense. And then that's when people start, you know, so that's what I consider woke.
Yeah.
For me, anyway. But I just think it's too bad that all gets hijacked with these people. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And it's turned into something bad, but it's like, it's not. It's just thinking about other people.
I have to be honest. I'm not offended, though, when someone says that to me.
I'm not.
Like, when someone gives me the response, oh, that's just woke nonsense.
Yeah, like, it's really just the right that gets themselves whipped into a fury about wokeness. When the rest of us are like, yeah, it's just called empathy, actually.
Yeah, really more it's what just, it is. Like, caring about other people.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah. And starting to, like, connect with other people in a real deep way, right?
And understanding that, Dave, have a different lived experience than me. I know that might be shocking to some.
Yeah.
So why is your experience not valid?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so if I don't believe that something happened in your life, does that make it not happen then?
No, of course
not. Right? Like, but so many people have a hard time thinking like that. I don't get that at all.
I don't either, because, like, one of the things I think maybe that... maybe like hits the I don't know, I'm just gonna like try to think outside of my own little box, but like that wokeness, maybe it's the cancel culture that has kind of jumped on its back, right? Like where it's like, because I have a trouble with that, and I'm not saying that I'm awoken. I'm not saying that I am. I don't believe I am. I believe I'm still pretty ignorant. But like, sorry, what were we talking about?
Well, just just being woke and
The cancel culture.
Cancel culture.
Yeah,
thank you. It was where you were going, I think.
Thank you very much. Because I don't believe that canceling people out, I could see canceling ideas out, like, for sure. Like,
yeah.
If we have to, if you have to, you have to. But I don't, and the reason I don't believe in canceling people out is because I've given this a lot of thought, man, since we've been down here. The idea, because I've talked to so many people that it's very difficult to see, and maybe it's because it's not necessarily how it's supposed to be seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I can't cancel out people, man.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. And I know, like, and that's, maybe that's my problem, but I can't. And I think part of it is because people didn't cancel me out, right? Like, and so, like, people always gave me a chance.
Yeah.
You know, like, no matter what happened to me, whatever I went through or what I did, people still gave me a chance, right? And so, like, I have to give people a chance.
But I think there's a difference between giving people chances.
Yeah.
And simply consequences of the words you say.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure.
Right? So I think what is considered cancel culture in a lot of cases is just actually repercussions of the shit you said or did. You know, and I think about, like, these comedians, like this Matt Rhimes guy,
mm-hmm.
who was, like...
I was thinking of it all in a different way.
Flirty, and he was all trying to garner an audience this one way,
mm-hmm.
and garnered a huge female audience, and then comes out with a special where he just, like, trashed women for and said a lot of things. And then it's like, oh, it's cancel culture. Well, no, it's that people didn't like what you said, and they're voicing their... lack of enjoyment of what you said. That is not canceling you.
No.
He's still making probably $1 million a year. He's still got shows he's doing. He's still got some audience.
That's not what I was thinking of.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, but no, I think that's where a lot of people confuse cancel culture when you say
it. I totally
that.
Was confused, man.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, my whole eyes lit up. I'm like, I've never heard it in that way before.
Yeah.
Like, where I was coming from was like canceling people out for jobs they do to survive.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Or things like, because the same, what I'm getting at is sometimes everybody's doing what they have to survive, like for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who actually get to like choose how they live and
absolutely.
I mean, there's obviously different levels of privilege. We know that, like, and so we don't need to get into that obviously. But the idea is that everyone's trying to survive. So like where I was coming from with the cancel culture was, I don't want to cancel people out because they've made mistakes.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Like, okay, look, you're going to pay for your mistakes. I'm not saying we're not going to pay for them, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or that we shouldn't. I'm just saying that to cancel a person out because they may do a job that we don't like, right?
Yeah.
That's the same as, like, and I'm thinking of police in particular, right? Like, do we take the person out of that scenario and just look at all of it like a uniform, right? Well, we're trying to get other people to not look at us like that, right? And so, like,
absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't abolish the police either, because I'm starting to believe maybe we should, right?
But there, I think people think of it as, okay, well, we got to focus on the police officers. But the truth is okay, I do believe there is probably a really good portion of police officers that are good people.
Yeah.
And then I also think it's a job and it's an work environment that attracts a certain portion of the population to that job who are perhaps not there for the best of reasons.
Yeah.
And it's that attraction, I think, that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Is why is it attracting those types of people?
Because they're recruiting those types of people.
Exactly, because those are the few people that will want to do a job like that.
Yeah.
Because if you ask most people, I don't think, and you described what the job really was, 98% of people go, yeah, no, I don't really want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so...
But they still do it because they make enough money to survive.
Yeah.
And live a nice life.
And then there's those that want to do it so they can actually make a positive impact and do good things and all these things. And the pay is good too, right?
But those things are real.
So
right?
I think we got to separate. Like we can't trash on the cops as much as the organizations, the training, the why certain individuals are attracted to those positions and why they flourish there.
And also why the continuation, even though there's policies against all these things, like rape and sexual assault and all these things, why do they still happen? And so if they're still happening within these subcultures, is it like, and it's happening a lot more within some of those subcultures than in other cultures, right? Other areas of living where people live. And I know it's, I don't know what the proportion is between, like, say, a Fortune 500 company that has 4,000 employees, right? Like, I don't know what the, I wouldn't even know where to begin because you
just, I don't know the stats.
You know the reporting would be skewed anyway. Well, because whoever gathers the stats does the reporting.
Exactly.
Right? So.
And there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get reported to
a
HR.
A lot of stuff, And we've talked about that, right? Like, we talked about some of the reasons why is because they're like, it basically puts a mark on you, right? And, and it's wild, man.
I've thought about this a lot. I've been thinking about this a lot.
But that's not to say, sorry, dude. No, I just wanted to say, that's not to say that all police are engaging in that.
No.
But like, what I'm getting at is the system as well, is that the systems are so fucked up that you could have really good people in them. And eventually, like, those good people might do stuff that's not so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And because the system itself is designed for not good people to be...
Yeah.
Let me say that again. It's not about good or bad people. The system's designed for people who are going to perpetuate the system. And that's, like, the most clear I can be. Though that's who they're recruiting.
Absolutely, yes.
They're recruiting the people who will absolutely commit to perpetuating the system.
They will follow the orders
and
traditions no matter what and throw out their own morals.
And that's the only way I can get my brain around why the RCMP still exists. Right?
And I think the ones that flourish and move up high into high ranks are the people that do just that. They set their morals aside and go, it's just a job. I think the people that have a lot of problems with it are the people that have that moral conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I that's just my running theory. I honestly have no stats, and I'm not a doctor. So, but that's my running theory, because you see so many people that seem to do well in that environment, and then others that just don't.
Yeah.
And I that's the only thing I can think of that really is the big difference is the ability to just go, oh, yeah, no, whatever I feel is out the door.
Yeah.
I'll just do what you tell me to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the flourishing, right? And then when they get into those positions of power, they're the ones that are going to fix the culture?
No, they're going to perpetuate it.
Right? Because it's not the ones that have that moral conflict that move up.
Yeah.
They're constantly being demoted or let set aside and promoted over because they don't fit in.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
So, and because I've been thinking.
Somehow get promoted and then they realize that's as far as they want to go.
Yeah.
Well, for whatever reasons, right?
Exactly.
So lots of people.
Like, they don't want to get into that other next step up because then they have to be, like, you know, I don't know. It's just a weird power thing.
But I think, and by the time you get up there, what I have witnessed in that culture, the short time I was around it, was like, once you get up above, like, into the executive, you're now, like, if we were thinking of, like, what was that old horror movie, man? The Skulls.
Oh,
like the Skull and Bone Society.
Yeah,
like, that's what the executive seems like. And the reason is because it's very cultish, man. Like, and if you're in the executive, start paying attention to how cultish it is when you guys have meetings and when you're around each other. Like, it's like a cult. And I know you think it's very military and probably looks really cool to everyone. But some of us, it looks like a cult, just so you know. It's very cultish. And maybe it's supposed to be that way. Maybe that's like the... But even the kind of the games that go on within the executive seems very cultish, man.
Well, like, I've been thinking a lot about this lately. I don't even know why. But why is it... Like, I remember like 7 or 8 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, with the previous chief. I can't remember what his name was. He was a big, tall guy. I think his name started with a B.
Oh man, I can't even.
Yeah, I can't remember. But anyways.
Yeah, I've like worked to forget.
Just remember this lady went to a commission meeting and she made a big spectacle of
Roger Chaffin, man.
Yes, that. Yeah. So I was totally off with the B, but close. Yeah,
I knew what you were talking about.
Anyways,
it's all good.
Robert Bob me. I don't know.
almost spit my coffee out.
So I just remember this lady reading her resignation to the commission while he was there, and it was a big press was there. It was a big spectacle. And she listed out, like, the sexual harassment, the volatile work environment, the hostile work environment, you know, just listed thing after thing. Mm-hmm. But that was, like, almost a decade ago, at least. And we're still having that today.
Well, we just had the HR
person. The HR lady's saying these exact same things.
Yeah.
So we switched chiefs. He was supposed to be fixing all this. Yeah. Not a thing is fixed. And I'm telling you, like, I can't fathom how that doesn't get fixed in 1 week.
Yeah.
You walk into a meeting and somebody throws a sex toy across the room, they're not in the meeting anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Problem solved.
But that's what I mean by the cult.
But cult again, I think it's clear the police chief doesn't have any power. Because how do you, as a grown adult man, you cannot tell me that when you're in a meeting room, and people are throwing out sex toys, that you think that's appropriate.
Yeah.
That's like, there's no fathomable way you can explain the logic on that one.
I bet you the executive of any police service, that, like, inspector and above or whatever, is much like the executive of churches. Like, to be honest with you. I imagine they behave much the same. Like, where...
It has to be.
They tell each other, like, hey, man, you can't do that around, like, the peons, right? Like... We'll cover your behavior. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard so many stories about each chief, like, over the last 20 years.
Yes.
Like, and how each of them had their own proclivities, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
And, of course, like, dark secrets.
Yes.
So many.
Like, well, you'll get into that position for,
I know. And that's, like, a shame that we just keep, like, that's okay.
Right?
That's fine. Like, it's fine. Yeah. We're just going to, and to be honest with you, that's where I'm coming from when I tell people I think everything's gotten so much worse, like, in this city. Like, when it comes to...
Absolutely.
Not just, like... And I'm not just talking about, like, crime, because obviously with more desperation, there'll be more crime. Like, you can absolutely fucking bank on
it. Yeah. When corporations are making $4 billion in profits while people are fucking going hungry, crime is maybe going to go up.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to go up.
I mean, like, come on.
I had this, like, thought about... I was like, dude, maybe we could do, like, an episode where we talk about, like, how... we can't do it, because they're probably against the law to do it. But I was thinking, like, you just talk about, like, how to do, like, counter-surveillance so that people are, like, trying to figure out if the cops are following them. Like, we could talk about how to do, like... You know, but I was like, no, we can't do that, because it might be considered encouraging, right? Like, and I don't want to encourage anyone to break the law.
No.
Never.
Speaking of which,
never.
There's a some posters that are starting to pop up in Toronto, and it's like National Steal from Loblaws Day.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I'm not saying anybody should do it, and I don't even know what day it's on.
I have no idea.
I'm just wondering how much extra security they're already fucking purchasing. For all of their stores for those days.
Or if they're just putting out clearance items and just letting people, like...
Or if they're just going to, like, we're going to not open that day.
Yeah.
Like...
It's just crazy.
Because you know people are going to do it now. Like, well, there's going to guarantee. People are going to mass steal that day.
What is the...
Because it's a protest.
What is the other outcome going to be when you fucking gouge people for too long? There's only one result you're going to get from us, like... We're humans, and at our core, we want to survive. So when you start gouging us, making it harder to survive, we're probably going to start eventually coming back at you.
Well, okay, but look at what's not in the news. And it's kind of the same thing, because it's like that, to me, that's a protest. It's not about, nobody's going in there and filling their shopping cart and then trying to run out.
Nope.
It's a protest to go and just steal shit.
They're not trying to hurt anybody. They're not.
Just corporate profits.
Corporate profits.
And to me, it's the same thing how in France, they... passed some agricultural laws that, and the farmers were not happy. I don't even know what they did, but the farmers were not happy.
Yeah.
And they literally filled Paris with fucking manure.
Mm-hmm.
They've surrounded their government buildings with mountains of manure and, like, fertilizer, like, just hay bales. Yeah. They blocked off highways. At one point in time, nobody could get in or out of Paris.
Oh, wow.
Because they just parked all their tractors on every single bridge and out road going in and out of Paris.
Good for them.
And I'm like, but that didn't make the news. But I'm like, but that's a protest, man. Like, that's You know you fucked up when that amount of people are going to that extreme.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like...
And eventually it's going to happen.
Because if you really push people hard enough, they will start to push back.
Yeah.
And that's what you're starting to see now, especially with these corporate profits. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And speaking of, like, just how crazy it is, right? Like, I know that it's hard. We're going to talk about a couple things, but, like, I know it's hard for folks, and which also makes it hard to, like, ask people for donations, right?
Yes.
Like, to go back a minute and talk about, like, the fundraiser thing where I didn't even ask for funds. But it's like I haven't stopped thinking about that since the night, dude. Like, literally every day I just shake my head and I'm like, dude, seriously. Yeah.
But I think it is very reasonable to say, like, hey, if you can donate, it would be appreciated.
Of course.
But don't feel that you can't come here and listen to music and not donate. And feel like I'll treat you differently now.
Totally.
You know, like, I think that is an important thing to say to people.
I think so.
Especially in today's climate, because not everybody could donate. Yeah. You know, like...
Exactly, man. And I guess I am a commie at heart, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, we can't say that out loud.
That's why you... Yeah.
Yeah, you can't say that shit.
Some alarms going off somewhere. Yeah. But no, I think, again, that's why you like this building.
Yeah.
Is because it's in, you know... Not everything has to be for profit.
Yeah, it can't, and it can't be, man.
You know, like,
yeah.
If somebody can donate and they do, that keeps you going.
Yeah, man.
That keeps Freedom's Path going, and you guys can do more work and better work.
Well, we can keep doing free counseling. We can keep doing, like, free support, like.
And that helps build community up, right? Like, so it's very cyclical.
Well, and the truth of the matter is that the harder it gets out there, the more we need to be, like, helping each other, right?
Absolutely.
So it's like. And so that leads me into another thing we're going to talk about, which is Freedom's Path has started to get involved in doing a little bit of outreach. So if there's folks out there who can't donate money, and, you know, that's okay, but maybe you have tarps, maybe you have blankets, maybe you have men's, women's clothes, shoes.
Coats, yeah.
Coats, things that you would like to donate to folks living unhoused. Then, yeah, you can hit us up, hit us up at either on Facebook or Instagram, social medias, whatever those things are. Every Monday evening, we give out a bunch of stuff with some other folks, like other individuals, and it's necessary. Like, it always goes fast, right? Like, there's... And we're just trying to help, like, something that my dad taught me about was just, you know, you give so others can live, right? So, and that's where I've been taught to come from, so that's where I'm coming from. And you don't have to believe that if you don't want to, but.
Well, and again, if people can donate cash, helps you keep doing things like that, right?
Yeah.
So, I think it's very important, and especially now that we start to look to each other more than ever.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really where help comes from.
Oh, it really is. And you know, one thing I noticed being down here as well, like, it's not all great, right? Like, you start to realize that even some of the services that are here that have been down here for a long time, some of them have some strange, not everyone feels comfortable using them. That's how I'll put it.
Right.
Like, and more people that I come in contact with have a hard time with lots of the services, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they live unhoused. Lots of them have decided it's easier and safer, right, than living in a shelter or...
Well, I know firsthand, because we have a fellow staying at our place. And honestly, just the horror stories of the whole trying to get into shelters, and even once you get a job, but and then the shelter world, like, it's just... Like, the time restrictions and things like that, like, not accommodating to bus schedules, not accommodating to, okay, but I work this shift. Mm-hmm. How do I get in? Where do I sleep now?
Yeah.
Like, I'm working. And like, it's just, and I mean, of course, rents are out through the roof. So, like, you know, like, $500 a month for literally a bedroom
in a
house. And then everything else is communal.
Yeah.
With the 9 other bedrooms that are in that house that they're renting out for $500 a month, right? Like, that's insane. Like, that's So yeah, like it is a struggle, and I think that everybody thinks maybe these shelters are so great, but mm-hmm. they're actually quite restrictive, and they're very difficult to maneuver yeah. through.
Well, and that's what we're learning, right? Like the longer we're down here, the more I'm seeing that, like, that there's so many gaps in services, like not because of there's a lack of things. It's almost like there's just so many people. Right? Like,
I think it's an overwhelming amount of people, 100%. Very much a lack of resources, yeah. funding, things yeah. like that, like especially like government funding and stuff. Like
yeah.
It doesn't yeah. cut it.
It doesn't, you know? It doesn't look good out there, man. It looks worse than I've ever seen it. And I've worked on this, like on the streets here for quite a long time. And it seems worse. Maybe it just seems worse because I was in the suburbs for a bit and,
yeah, maybe.
You know, and that did like do a number on my brain, to be yeah, honest yeah. with you. It was yeah. like it's a trip, man.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, you think you're, and I was, don't get me wrong, doing lots of work. Like we did good work up
sure.
there. There's
yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'm not saying we weren't doing great work. What I'm just saying is it's just so drastically different.
Yes.
Right? Like it's yeah. so drastically different and it's just literally up the hill.
Yeah. Right? It's across the river and yeah. up a hill.
Like across the river.
Probably directly, it's probably what, like 2 to 3 kilometers?
Yeah, something like that.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. It's wild. But I mean, it's just, it's because I think that separation between, well, I don't know. People will dispute that there's a class system here, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. There's
a class system. I don't know how you dispute that.
Yeah. And the class system, you know, basically starts at the top of the hill and
yeah.
across the river, maybe. Who knows? Depending on how you look at it, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
But there's definitely a difference,
yeah.
right? Like, and not that it's better or worse. Like, people have trouble no matter where they live. Like, that's one thing yeah. I know for sure. Like, no matter yeah. where you come from, I know humans, man, we suffer, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, so, yeah, so we were talking about...
Outreach, Mondays.
Outreach, yeah. So if you're keen on that and you have stuff that you would like to bring to Freedom's Path, we're down at 223 12th Ave Southwest at Community Wise, and you can just contact us on our social medias, mm-hmm. and we can arrange times to get the stuff if you want to bring it down. Yeah, and oh yeah, and Pride.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pride.
I'm glad that we remembered. I looked at you and I was like,
yes.
dude, you reminded me of Pride. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
One thing Darcy reminds me of is Pride. Well, actually, you do.
Oh.
Because your whole family is like
yes.
wonderfully Pride.
They're
yeah.
deeply entrenched.
Deeply entrenched.
Yes.
And so that brings me to the next thing we're talking about is us, if there's companies out there or individuals, far be it for me to dissuade anyone if they're interested in sponsoring Freedom's Path Recovery Society having a Pride float-ish. Most likely it would just be us walking with a banner. But we would like to be able to have, and I know there's like different packages that Calgary Pride has, different levels of sponsorship. Like I think mm-hmm. it's 1,000, 3,000, 5,000, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. But if you're curious about that or interested and you want to sponsor us with that, we're happy to do that because we want to really be a part of Pride. I think it's important for us in lots of different ways
mm-hmm.
to do that. Yeah. And yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Awesome.
Dude, what else were we going to talk about?
I think that was really about it, wasn't it?
That was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I could just fire off topics just to set you off, though, if you want. We got a couple hours, man.
I don't think we should do that. I think we should not do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should. What do you think? Do you think are the people who listen would like to hear that, or do you think they would not like to hear that?
Well, I think it's 50-50.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think it really would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not...
Some might get a real kick out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I have friends that would totally get a kick out, like yourself,
yeah.
that totally
yeah.
get a kick out of it.
I'll just interrupt you every once in a while with another topic and get you on totally on a different track. And
fuck, man.
We could have like a good 20 solid minutes of just ranting, Dave
you
ranting topics.
You know me
topics.
Too well. Yeah, just like ranting. And it's weird, dude, because like the older I get, man, the more I have to complain about it seems.
Oh, I know, right? Oh my God. Like it's just everything. I find even my road rage now is starting to change.
Yeah.
Where I'm not the so violently angry in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Where I literally, like, there's probably a good thing I don't have guns. Yeah. That's all I'm saying, in my vehicle.
Fuck, man.
I was younger.
I've been there.
Whereas now I'm just like, now I start to insult people's age.
Yeah.
Like, you young, and I'm like literally just, I'll swear like a trucker. Yeah. But it's like, it's old man angry where it's like, I'm not actually going to do anything.
Yeah.
But I'm going to wave my fist, you bastard. Yeah, I'm going to
shake my gray hair. Yeah, and fist it's
like,
at you.
I don't even raise my voice anymore. I'm like, you fucking, you know, like, so it's like, I'm like in the old man road rage phase, I guess.
And I'm like through it, man. I'm like so through the road rage because I want to get rid of my car. Yeah, I just can't be bothered. I just fucking hate driving now, man. It's brutal.
Dude, I got this, my car's in for repairs and it's taking forever. So I got this rental and they gave me like a Ford F-150.
Oh, they gave you a big daddy, man.
But I'm like, it's so shitty to drive around the fucking city. So like, I don't even, that's why I didn't drive today. Because I'm like, I am not parking that downtown.
Dude, you should get some testicles for it, man.
And then it would be a trans truck.
Yeah, man. And it would be trans.
I've said to Michelle forever,
I love it.
I want to get some stickers made and then just put them rainbow colors and say, yeah. I wanna, and go around to anybody that has like a fuck Trudeau sticker and stick it above it, say, I wanna fuck Trudeau, and just have them come out in the morning and just like be just livid.
Yeah, you'd have to like videotape the response.
Especially on the trucks that are all jacked up. Yeah. They got the 900 flags on them and like.
Oh my God, dude.
You know, they're trying to make, like, Dukes of Hazzard vehicle still.
Oh, I guess we could talk about that, man. We could talk about Alberta. Alberta's interesting.
Yeah.
We do have an interesting province, man. Like, there's like, so much generosity, right, on the one hand. Because we do have so many generous humans in Alberta.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, like, literally in the same breath, you have people who are incredibly infuriating, right? Like,
yes.
That are racist and, you know, bigoted and, fuck, man, anti-something. But then I think, like, I can't even hate them. Like, I don't want to hate people, man. Like, you know, I don't want that those ideas to be perpetuated, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want to hate anybody.
Well, I think there's a difference that's really one of the biggest differences between people that are those things.
Because
they're just filled with hate.
Yeah, man.
That they can't let go of. Whereas, like, yeah, I don't really, I will, not going to spend much energy hating people.
No, man.
I am going to go, that person sounds like a moron, and I think their ideas are idiotic or fascist or racist, whatever they are.
I could tell you I hate what Israel's doing.
Yeah, but, and I'll maybe not have anything to do with them.
Yeah.
But as far as holding on to that and just, like, hating them, like, that's just pointless.
Well, and the thing is, like, We can hate people, like, behaviors, like, for sure.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, or hate's a strong word, but hate does fit. Like, I do not like anything about what Israel's doing. Like,
no, absolutely not.
Right? And that's my opinion. And that's all I'm going to say about that today.
Oh, mine too, but yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that today.
Sure. But yeah. I don't know. I think it's just that holding on to the hate, though. Like that,
yeah, I don't want
to
do
that's what eats
it,
you up inside, and then you just start hating everything, and then you just become what they are.
Well, and I think that's what enables groups or people or countries to do things like what Israel's doing. It enables you to do that when you start to believe that you are not fucking wrong about anything.
Yeah.
And that you're so fucking right, you have a right to fucking burn people, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, that's crazy, man.
I know.
However, the truth of the matter is, they didn't get that way overnight.
We enabled it.
Well, and that is literally a response to having that done to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like the old adage of hurt people, man.
Yeah, exactly.
And in this case, it's hurt people on a huge scale, hurting people on a huge scale.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, and I don't understand why that's so hard for us to see.
I don't understand.
When it's individually, we can see it, and we think it's a crime, and we say this is fucking wrong, right? But But then we have to look at, okay, well, is it wrong? Is stealing wrong all the time?
Yeah.
Is going and stealing from Loblaws wrong? Well, first of all, if you ask me on a normal day, I would say no.
Yeah, right?
I would say you do what you got to do to survive.
Yeah. Right?
Well, did I always think that way? No. But I had so many biases, man. I had exactly. so many biases that it was my responsibility to learn about those biases and to not be ignorant to them, and I refused until yeah. I didn't. Until I could.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? But I did them. Yeah. I thought, no, if you steal, you should get caught. Even
yeah, exactly.
though I, at the same time that I would catch you for stealing, I would also steal. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the, I believe that is like the schizoid break of capitalism. Right?
Yes.
It's like when you can arrest somebody for it at the same time that you're doing it. It's
absolutely.
Because there's something in the brain that just goes, well, yeah, but it's okay for me to do it.
And that is exactly it. It's okay for me.
Is that not fucking privilege?
It's okay for me and the people in my little
yeah,
subsect of human.
Fucking A, dude.
And that's always been the problem.
Yeah.
You know, what's good for us is not good for all you.
Yeah. That's
you know?
And that's probably why in my case, like, and I don't expect anyone else to feel this way, but in my case, there's lots of like shame about how I made a living, right? For a long time.
Yeah.
And that's because I have to own that. Like, mm-hmm. I have to own what I actually did. Like, and in owning that, there is going to be shame because I recognize
yeah.
that I did to people exactly what I was doing.
Well, but you were sucked into that system.
Oh, 100%.
You were believed in. You were
yeah.
bred and to believe it. You were indoctrinated in it.
And it was much easier than going the other way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then at some point, you went the other way.
Yeah.
And
I think
yeah.
I was the other way already.
Yeah.
And then I...
accepted.
I learned how to conform.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And I slowly continued to conform.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And it feels like that part of that 6 months here, and I know people are going to think this episode is probably the most, like, mentally ill episode we've had.
Just a scattering
yeah,
of broad
totally.
Topics.
But just remember, like, we're just two buddies talking. So, like, sometimes...
Yeah, and we actually haven't talked in, like, a couple of weeks.
We haven't.
No,
so, like, and so we're kind of just two buddies talking. So forgive us. Sorry
yeah,
if
yeah.
it gets a little bit wild. But I'm sure it's been wilder. That's
yeah.
something I can probably say with certainty. But, yeah, what were we talking about?
Oh, shit.
I know, man. Speaking of getting older.
Right?
Hey,
oh, my God. You know, it's funny. I remember
you
things...
You just had a birthday, dude.
Did I?
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 49.
49, that's
yeah.
right. Okay. So I'm a year older than you. Well, 6 months, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I'm 50 in September.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I thought
yeah,
you were 50, but no.
No, you're, yeah, I think you're yeah. just like less than a year younger. Or
less
older
than a
than
year,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we were going somewhere because I was thinking about, what the hell were we talking about? Because I was thinking about, oh, I think it was just figuring out your own personal biases.
Yeah, yeah. And that we're responsible for that. Like,
yeah.
And I think, like, that's... Oh, yeah, but this ties back into the wokeness. That's why I said that
yeah.
we're all over the place.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it totally ties back into that, right?
Yep.
It's when you start to become awake, you start to realize these things. Some
yeah.
of these things. And I get it. Don't get me wrong. Like, if for anyone out there who thinks the last couple years or few years have been, like, a fucking easy ride... No, it's not easy.
Yeah.
I could see why even I would want to stay the way I was. Like,
yeah.
because it would just make it so much easier.
Well, yeah, that's what it was. You were talking about just living conformity.
Yeah.
While in the back of your mind knowing that that's wrong.
That you don't believe it.
Yeah.
Even like.
But you have to present this way.
100%. Like,
yeah.
And so I've gotten back into writing, right? So like
nice.
I hadn't written in years, like really written anything besides like support letters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In probably a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing and it gets me thinking about these things, right? Like,
yep.
because I remember my earlier books that I wrote, like there was that angst in them.
Mm-hmm.
It was that angst about like all these things that we're talking about now. It may not
yeah.
have been specifically Palestine,
yeah.
but it was the idea that there were people being crushed like Palestinians are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the indigenous people are. Have always been.
Well,
right?
Like the freaking kids that are mining in other countries and, you
Dude.
Know, child labor everywhere, the child
yeah.
and the human trafficking.
Yeah.
All of that shit, man.
Yeah.
Like,
there's so
it's
much.
It's fucking wrong.
Yeah, dude. It's so fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And it's so fucking wrong that we've been told that we haven't been, first of all, told enough about it. Yeah. That's wrong. Because we should be able to decide for ourselves. Like, right now we're starting to know this. We can decide for ourselves. Hence boycotts, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely,
I fucking love it, right?
Right.
Because the trouble is that all of our, like, sustainable living stuff is tied into the fucking countries that we're exploiting.
Yeah,
that are being exploited for, right?
Yeah.
Like, for our TVs, for our phones, for everything,
yeah.
right? And that is a bloody shame.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is, right? So,
but I think that's where we're starting to become more aware as a world and as a global community.
Yeah. That I sure fucking hope so.
We can't have nice things in one area while we destroy
another.
The entire geographic area of another to have those nice things.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you have governments afraid of a TikTok app. Because it's one of the, I think it's the number one way that things are getting, like this are getting out.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like, I've learned that there's, I can't remember the country in France, or not France, a country in Africa that is kicking out, like, French mining companies now have to pay taxes to them instead of France. And they're basically trying to get rid of the France colonial stranglehold and actually reap the benefit of their own resources. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're still there. We're basically still fighting colonial slavery and calling them third world countries because all the wealth is being stolen.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's just as a globe, I think those these things are coming out. And I don't think a lot of like the people don't want you to know that shit.
No, they don't, man.
Because then you start to go, well, wait, so you mean that thing that I have comes from that?
Yeah.
Well, then I don't want that thing. Mm-hmm. And your consumerism changes, and you know, God forbid, we start to be
Well, and we're told that these wars in Africa between different African countries, we're told the wars are about the fact that these tribes have been at war forever, and it's all they're just violent, they're just violent like groups.
Yep.
No, no. Like, yes, maybe they're violent groups, but why?
Yeah.
Like, let's really be honest now, because now we can talk about it and say, hey, this is partly why. I'm not saying causation because I'm not quite there yet, but there's, in my mind, is causation that colonialism has caused these fucking countries to be violent because instability, poverty brings violence and crime, right? Like we have examples of it here in North America on a totally different level, right? But we know there is correlation between like making a region unstable and then what happens after that. Right? There's correlation all across the planet.
Yeah.
Right? That where things have become unstable, violence ensues. Right?
Right. And then what do you more deeply entrench?
Yeah.
The idea is that you have to fight crime harder by clamping down more on people.
Yeah.
Then that creates more of the violence.
Yeah.
Which generates more revenue for the system so that they can then clamp down harder and harder. And I think
it's getting
to that point where you're starting to feel it's at the maximum.
Mm-hmm.
There's people are getting squeezed out of society.
Yeah.
And it's only going to last for so long.
Well, and I think that's what makes it possible for like political parties to be so harsh, right?
Is because and so out of touch with what's going on.
Totally. And they just want to protect their assets and they want... They know that people are afraid. So if you introduce a crime bill, these are the best times to do it.
Absolutely, right?
When people are when we're on the brink of World War III and people are terrified to like do anything.
Well, and they want to put out
a crime bill that allows for like a million more cops.
Yeah, right? and they want to put out bullshit articles about how much theft is going on at the stores. And then when you actually look at the statistics, it's like it's not really a significant increase. Like that's not an actual true story or statement.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
But you learn that on these other apps. Mm-hmm. You don't learn that from the CBCs of the world and the CTVs because they are government funded. All of them are. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's like, oh, CBC's government funded. When they have like a $4 billion media fund and only like $1.5 billion goes to CBC or whatever. The rest goes to CTV and all those local programs.
Of course it does, right?
It goes to those big media. So they're all government funded.
Yeah.
And that's how they make money. Well,
that's how all the corporations are still alive, is they're government funded too.
Exactly.
Right?
But like Vice Media isn't government funded. It's going out.
How about Rebel Media?
Yeah. They're hate funded.
Yeah, they are hate funded. Oh yeah, and by the way, if any of our like supporters or followers happen to see me flipping them off at a rally a couple weeks ago, like
yeah,
I did it on purpose. Just wanted to make sure I clear that up.
Yeah.
It was totally on purpose. I meant to do it. Yeah. Yeah. Jackasses. I mean, hey man, like you're allowed to have an opinion until you start hating people. And then like your opinion sucks. And I'm gonna say that every time. So.
Well, and I think right now we have much bigger issues to deal with than the fake issues of blocking surgeries that actually don't even happen in Canada until you're over 18 anyway.
I know, man. Like,
but we're going to make it a big deal to make it illegal to have them under 18, but they don't happen.
Because it's already...
It's like making a law for something that doesn't even happen.
Yeah.
But we're... Like, there's a reason they do those things.
Well, because it gets people's
fear, as opposed to actually dealing with the problems in our fucking... Mm-hmm. Like, I feel bad because I feel like politicians don't understand that you would go down in history if you just started fixing problems. Like, Wab Kanu is the premier of Manitoba right now. First Indigenous premier in history of Canada. Mm.
He's a stud, too.
Unless you count Louis Riel, who's an honorary... Anyways, I just wanted to say that.
He's a stud.
For any, but he is the most popular right in all of Canada right now. Mm. Why? Because he's adding 1,000 doctors and nurses. Mm. He's... funding school food programs. Mm. He's doing these socialist communist things so that people don't live in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So that people have a fair chance to actually get out of their debt load, mm-hmm. get out of their situation, get a little hand up.
And access opportunity.
And what is it doing? He's the most popular premier in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the other ones doing? Where's Danielle Smith sit in that? Like, one of the lowest because... Yeah. It's just hate shit.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we're fighting these battles that I'm like, this is not what we need to worry about. This isn't even on the top 100 list.
These are old battles, man. And they've already been fought.
Yeah, like, and lost. I feel like we're just going to go back to arguing whether we should have gay marriage again. Yeah. It's like, dude.
100% where it's
people
going.
Are starving and ODing on legal drugs, and you're like, let's talk about what people what like to do in their bedrooms.
And then we'll arrest the people who use the drugs. We'll just start arresting them now.
Yeah, well, this is the other, like, talk about recovery. They've come up with that coalition. Alberta, Saskatchewan, and I think Ontario.
Coalition of what?
They're all going to support each other in the forced recovery program.
Oh, fuck.
So we're going to go with forced this recovery.
Amazing.
And our government's going to make alcohol sales legal in grocery stores.
Oh, my
and
God.
And convenience stores.
I love it. I love it,
That's what they're considering.
I love it.
So forced recovery, make alcohol more available.
Yeah.
And why would you make it more available when people are living in poverty and getting and basically being forced into the streets?
Well, it's an American model.
What is the one thing that they're going to say, try to deal with their issues with?
Yeah.
So let's make it.
American model, dude.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you wonder, like, why would you want to go down in history as that premier?
Well, because that's just who they are, man.
I don't get it. Like,
that's just who they have been and who they are. And if they change now, they'd be wrong. And you know what? They'd piss off everybody who paid for them to be there. And, like, it's wild, man.
Yeah, I guess.
And I mean, like, the truth is, dude, like, even, and I'm not, like, I'm not crapping on, like, conservatives. If you, however you vote, just vote your heart. Like, I get that. I'm just saying that this specific party, pretty ridiculous. Like, pretty ridiculous.
So, yeah, absolutely, because they're not
specific
even...
specific humans involved, pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I could talk about that probably all day long, but I just...
Well, and I could too. There's no solution. Right?
But it's just always hypocrisy. Like, we're going to force recovery, but we're going to make alcohol more available.
Yeah.
Like, at what the fuck?
Well, because nobody in this government, trust me when I say this, wants drug addicts, man. They could deal with alcohol, because they've all come from families of alcohol.
Well, and to them, drinking alcohol is a second nature, right?
Yeah. It's not a drug, man.
Like, that's how most politics is done, is over alcohol.
But you got, so you got cops, like we've always had,
yep.
demonizing drug users
yes.
over alcohol, like,
yep.
or even if they don't do it specifically, the media demonizes drug use over alcohol 100% of the time, right?
Absolutely.
Like, and you always demonize the drug user, like
yeah.
if like whenever a drug user is killed by police, right? Demonize yep. the user. Well, he had a needle; he was injecting himself, and so I shot him to stop him.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. I'm not sure. I don't think yeah. that's how it went, but it sounds kind of like how it went.
yeah,
he was injecting himself with fentanyl, and I stopped him to save his life. I shot him in the head, though, so it was.
Sounds about right.
Right? It sounds like the law enforcement's like response to like addiction. Oh my yeah. God, he's injecting. That's a needle. It's sharp.
Yeah.
He's coming towards himself. Shoot him. Stop.
There's a good chance of bodily harm. I have to stop him. I can use deadly force.
Yay.
And sadly, that would probably be the logic that they go, yeah, no, yeah. did everything right. I mean,
yeah.
he saw somebody with deadly bodily harm. And decided to take deadly force.
And then ACERT, a group of cops from across yeah. Alberta, will vote, no, that was fine. Everything's fine. And don't get me wrong, like, hey, I have never been in that position, so I'm not saying I know what happened in those scenarios.
No.
All I'm saying is, when things don't add up over a course of time, like, all the time, you have to start wondering why they don't add up.
Right.
Right? And why there's people that think, like, vehemently and adamantly think that these things occur. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it goes back to, you know, you have to force people into jails because you have to keep the funding going. You have to do something to keep feeding this system or else it will not feed you the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you look at the countries that have taken the opposite approach of actually helping addicts
yeah.
with a genuine desire to help them, whether that's harm reduction leading to better housing and all these things that a lot of other countries are offering and providing. Like, those approaches seem to work.
Yep.
Why can't we go to that? Well, it's because we are not, as a political body in the government,
mm-hmm.
they are not prepared for that kind of change in our society. And that would tip the balance of power and money
yeah.
in different ways. And I think that it's just this fear. Like, well, if we just keep kicking the ball down the field, it'll yeah. keep going forever. But eventually you're going to hit that wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to make drastic changes, right?
Well, and I think part of the reason we have such resistance in North America about, like, decriminalizing and
yeah.
turning things around in terms of law enforcement is because we have a lot of money in law enforcement.
Absolutely.
Like, a yes. lot of money in it. Like,
yep.
That's where... Like, we probably can't compare Canada to the States because the States is probably absurdly different, like,
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a lot of money going into that. Like,
yeah. Well, when you think about every police budget across the country,
yeah,
you're talking billions of dollars, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of freaking money.
Well, and how can the politicians, whether it's, like, municipal, provincial, state,
federal, yeah.
How can they compete with law enforcement organizations that, like, basically dictate to them what
yeah.
the needs are?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So our needs are this.
Exactly.
Right? Nobody questions it. And for the last, like, yeah. 25 years, man, like, from 2001, September 11th,
yeah.
there's been no questions about it, man. I mean,
for
crying out loud, the Patriot Act came into play.
Yeah.
The Patriot Act, dude. I don't know if you've ever looked at it.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
it's pretty fucking wild, man.
Yeah.
Like, literally anything that I determine is potentially a terrorist act.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to go ahead and just fucking scoop you up.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy. And I think, like, that is still alive and well. The mm-hmm. ability for the government and its agents to do whatever they want.
Yes.
In the name of democracy and freedom.
Well, and I think you see it in so many ways. There's more news stories. There's more access to news stories.
Yeah.
There's more people publishing their own stories of experiences.
Yeah.
Because God knows, if you start watching certain types of videos on YouTube, you're getting a lot of them
yeah.
in your, like, recommended. Same thing with TikTok. So if you're like, hey, I was assaulted by police,
mm-hmm.
and you type that in, there's going to be 10 million videos for you to watch.
Yeah.
So you start to feel like, oh, wait a minute. Like, all of us are.
Yeah.
And that's how I think, like, things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
is because people, it's so much easier. Like, it's not like when Rodney King happened, mm-hmm. that was unbelievable because nobody yeah. ever actually videotaped that before. Yeah. Well, now that's videotaped like daily.
Yeah.
And it's kind of almost become, what are you going to do?
Well, because nothing, it impacts nothing.
Yeah.
Like, which is absurd.
But I think over time, it kind of like starts to polarize people, though, yeah. because now a lot of people are starting to feel like it is us versus them.
Yeah.
And you start to get, and I think that's where people yeah. are unhappy, and you get a society like this. And that's where
people
like
become
this.
Militarized, right?
Yeah. yeah. So I think it's you're kind of creating your own problem.
Well, but we were just talking about that, like, from the yeah. beginning of this conversation is, you put enough pressure on people, man.
Yes.
They're going to fight back. Like, and you can't, like, and I'm a firm believer that once you push someone and they fight back, you can't blame them at that point. You have to you have to be able to look at yourself
yep.
and say, why all of a sudden are these people doing these things?
Right? Yeah, like if you bomb an embassy in another country, and you bomb the embassy of a totally other country, and they respond with missiles, you shouldn't be surprised by that. Sorry to bring that back to a negative place, but
we were going to talk about that.
Yeah. Right?
Because, dude, like, at the same time that these, like Loblaws is gouging us and all this mm-hmm. stuff is happening very real time, we are also on the brink of, like, potentially World War III, right?
Yes.
Like, when Israel decides to, like, rattle its swords at Iran.
Yeah.
Like, and then Iran responds, and, of course, the whole world, like, oh, my God, why is Iran so violent?
Right.
And it's like, are you fucking joking me? Like,
right.
Israel has been literally killed, what, like 17,000 children, man?
Yeah, since something October? Like that. And over 30,000 people,
over 30,000
civilians.
People,
yeah.
All civilians, women, children, men.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what you're focusing on. But again, I'll get shit for this. I know I will, because I do field some shit from time to time. Like, but the truth is, you and I both know why. It's
yeah.
because Iran has browner people, right? Like,
well, and like,
I'm sorry, man. I wish it wasn't like that here.
Yeah.
I wish our news wasn't like tilted to support like lighter skinned folks. I wish it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
But it fucking is.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen anything about Congo. I haven't seen anything about Africa, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And like you mentioned that, you have to look for that shit.
Yeah.
Right. Because the mainstream media makes it seem like it's the people who have a problem.
Well, even the stuff going on in France,
yep.
you didn't see that on mainstream
media. No, France as well, man.
I only That's saw right. these videos of people doing it because people are taking videos
yep.
and posting it on TikTok.
Yep.
And so, like, they will purposely hide things from me, and I think we're seeing that. We're seeing a lot of things now.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad we're seeing it. But it's
yeah.
also fucking frustrating.
It is,
you fucking
yeah.
see it, and like for 6 months we've been seeing it, and like
yeah.
nothing changed.
Well, it's right? like a decade of sexual harassment going on in the police service.
Yeah.
And I know it's been going on forever.
I know.
But I just mean like since it's been a decade since that lady publicly yeah. quit saying all these things, the chief being a dick about it.
Yep.
And nothing has changed.
Nope.
You now have another woman coming out from that
and
worked in the same environment saying the same goddamn things.
But a woman now, this woman, the HR director, actually has access to more cases than that individual
yes.
did. Now, the
yeah.
individual gives their story. Amazing. Still,
yeah.
nothing's fucking done. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It just continually gets
worse.
This
lady's got the letters.
This lady's got letters. This lady's got all
yeah,
kinds
yeah.
of, like, empirical evidence because
yes.
it's not just emotional to her, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it means, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, anyway.
But there's just more clear evidence, and of
yeah.
course, that's why she's being sued.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Is because, like, and I get it, like, this whole whistleblower shit that,
yeah, yeah.
like, we're probably going to adopt up here in Canada, like,
yeah,
if we
yeah.
haven't already, like,
yeah.
I don't know what the punishment is, like, to be a whistleblower up here, but, like...
You're supposed to be able to do it up here.
Yeah, supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
And, but, of course, this is how they criminalize it, right? They don't
yes.
have to, like, charge you with, like, a crime. They'll just criminalize it by suing you. So
well, because they won't, they'll charge
legal.
You with something else that no. is kind of related somehow. And everybody will just accept that.
Yep. Because, like, we just, for some reason, still accept,
yeah.
like, on a, and I say we, I just mean, like, our society on a large scale still seems to
yeah.
accept the idea that law enforcement is for the greater good. Like, and I think
yeah.
that's needs to change.
Yeah, yeah.
Because once we understand it's not for the greater good, it's for a very small percentage of the greater good. The yeah. greater good being that 1%, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever, 5%. Yeah, whatever yeah. you want to call it. But that's the greater good that they protect.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that. And so I knew this when I was a teenager. But of yeah, course, yeah. you're told you're just a teenager. You're a fucking
yeah, you're teenager. An, you're an idiot.
Of course you don't like cops. Of course you think they're, you know, mm-hmm. of course you think they're fucking controlling, like overbearing. But then you get like bludgeoned by the system enough.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, wow, it's so much easier just to be polite to cops and just to like yes. get out of their way and just like placate them. And then you fall, and then I fell into that mm-hmm. my whole fucking life, right?
Yeah.
Like just placating them, even to the point where I dated one. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
And what?
Dude, I took French classes from grade 7 when they started offering them in my small town to grade 11. Because I planned on being an RCMP officer.
Yeah.
And I knew I needed to have both English and French
bilingual,
to yeah. be be a better candidate,
yeah.
right? So, like, I was fully in the system, dude.
Yeah, man. Like, and it
happened. Like, I loved G.I. Joe. I was all about the military. Like,
loved G.I. Joe. Yep.
I fucking loved, like, every Vietnam War movie yep. ever made. Like, I mean, I kind of arguably still do, but, like...
Well, some of them are really good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, anyway...
But you know what did change, like, and those things were very true, because that was a part of your upbringing, obviously, part of mine,
yeah.
like what we were taking in, lots Absolutely. Of G.I. Joe, lots of war movies,
yeah, yeah.
lots of that
but
stuff.
But then you wanted to be that, right?
That's right.
So then when you seen SWAT teams and things, you're like, that'd yeah. be cool too, and yep. like, it just appealed to that kind of mentality.
And I think it did kind of just take on that life of its own, right?
Absolutely.
Like from being raised, like... to, first of all, being raised to believe in the Zionist, like,
yeah.
mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on top of that, to believe in the industrial military complex, because the church is so entrenched with that, right, with state.
Yeah.
I know that, like, there's all kinds of, like, fucking words that say the church shall be separate from state, but you and I both know that's not true.
Yeah.
We just
yeah, yeah.
know that's not true. We Excellent. Know people with faith have an inability to keep their fucking bullshit.
Look at how many people are losing their fucking minds about a halal mortgages now.
Oh my God, dude.
Like, if you don't want one, don't care.
Yeah, if you don't like, qualify, maybe like just shut up.
Oh my God. But, you know, all religion isn't in government, but it is, because they're the only ones that get holidays is one religion. Anyway, I could go yeah. on for hours. See, we talked about religion and yeah. you brought it up, buddy.
Yeah, but it's okay, because the whole idea of it is to bring about why things are so hard.
Yes.
And we can't say why things are so hard without talking about these institutions that make things so fucking hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, and I mean, like, we were just talking about the police as an institution. Obviously, like, individuals within these institutions are not, like, guilty by association.
Yeah.
Right? The trouble is, and this is where I was also talking about the cancel culture thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just don't believe that, because I've met yeah. enough people in enough different fields.
Yep.
This isn't just specific to law enforcement, by the way. Like, it's...
For, oh, yeah, no, there's a lot of areas.
Right? A lot of areas where these questions come up, where yep. it's like, okay, you're working in this area, and whether it's like dealing drugs, for example. I'll yeah. use that as an example, because I think it's a very fine... I shouldn't say fine. That's not what I meant to say. I think it's a very functional occupation for folks who need to make money and who mm-hmm. can't go walk into a law firm or whatever and do these things and don't have different opportunities, or maybe they mm-hmm. did and they chose this anyway, because it is a way to make money. So
yeah.
I'm not shitting on any jobs.
No.
Because within all jobs, there's people who don't give a fuck.
Yep.
There's people who really give a fuck, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
who actually care about their clients or customers, whoever.
Yep.
And then there's people who are indifferent, right? Like, who just want to make money. And then there's yeah. probably a whole range of folks within there.
Right? Yeah, yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
I mean, you and I both know it's not just one, two, or three ways, right?
Yeah, yeah,
Humans
absolutely.
Are complex. So now I can't remember what I was talking about, dude.
Well, I just, you know, people doing jobs that they you know,
yeah,
need
like,
to do. And
to survive, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just, like, we talk about law enforcement because it's in our eye.
Yes.
Like, and it's hard not to talk about it when you have, like, Wild West mentality law enforcement chiefs of police, right?
Well, and I think the reality is that mentality trickles across almost every government agency at every level of government.
Yeah.
Like, I have no doubts that in City Hall of Calgary, there is probably sexual harassment going on
oh,
amongst politicians and the political group, 100%. Like, as a body.
Yeah.
Same thing on the provincial level and federal level. And so that it's not just the police. They're just the visual. They're the interactive with the public that we see.
Yeah.
And that's, we see the final result of those systemic attitudes.
Yeah. Come but out like, in the way they talk.
Yeah, but I mean, if you actually, I mean, talk to Indigenous people about their experience with dealing with Indigenous affairs or whatever the hell it's called now.
Yeah.
I can say for one, like, My wife is First Nation. She has her card. Mm-hmm. But to get our daughter her card has been over 2 years now. And I don't know when it's ever going to come.
If it's ever going
to
come.
And they've made it so difficult. Like, we had to go buy records from the registries. We had to, you got all these hoops to jump through.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it's just a less physically violent way to fuck with people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not the more public way. Whereas the police are out there, they're wearing a uniform, they stand out in a crowd, like, you can see them.
And they're different, and, like, it's weird, because when I hear police, whether it's anyone from the executive talk, it could be anyone, chief of police included, obviously, because we've heard him more than we need to over the last little while.
Yeah.
Tell us how fucking terrible we all are.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I mean? Like, anyway, but anytime they kind of talk, there's that disconnect from the reality of things, right?
Yes.
Like, and I get it, I think, more and more now, that disconnect is so present because of so many different factors, right?
Yes.
Like, it's not just present because of how much that person makes every year.
Oh, absolutely.
They make a lot, right?
Yeah.
It's not just that, but that's part of it.
Yep.
It's not just where that person, like, comes from in terms of their, like, religious leanings, I'll say.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But that's part of it. Big part of it. Because that, all those layers of privilege, right? Make it seem like...
Well, yeah, absolutely.
It's okay for me to say whatever I want to say.
Well, and at that level, being a more public and known police chief, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's probably not going to be the police chief in the next 5 years.
Yeah, probably not.
Because there's always a changing of the guard when it starts to get where... Mm-hmm. People start maybe not trusting them. Ah, we'll change the leader.
Yep.
But it can almost
time for new blood.
Yeah, I can almost guarantee you he's going to go on to some sort of political position,
or he'll just become chief up in Edmonton
or something. But they always seem to move up in that chain.
Yep.
And I just find it interesting that they're always getting rewarded for not having done anything.
Yeah.
But they're part of the system, and they kept the system going, so they get rewarded from the system.
But that's because the system itself, now it's going to sound like a conspiracy theory podcast, but that's because the system itself is designed to not be corrected. Right?
Well, it's a momentum thing.
Yeah.
If you have a vehicle going one direction, and it's carrying a heavy weight, and it's all that momentum, it's pretty hard to just turn it on a 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
That's why big trucks fall over.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to turn them gently. And I think that's the problem is where it's so hard because you got to make 1,000 little changes in policies before you'll see a big change. And I think for most politicians, that's too daunting.
Yeah, and the only way those policies are going to come into play are when the people change that make them, right? Because part of the problem has been we've had, like, we'll get away from law enforcement because we can pick on those fuckers.
Yeah, let's go to government now.
Yeah, well, let's just go to houselessness, okay?
Yes.
And poverty. Let's just go there because that's something that has gotten worse over the last 25 years, right?
Absolutely. Again,
one of those things I can say from experience, from being alive for 25 years and working in the field, has gotten worse without question, right? People are struggling more,
Make
ends meet. People are, it's just harder, right? It's harder. Yeah. You need, I couldn't imagine my dad and mom getting married and starting a family now because they couldn't afford it, right? Because stopped nursing, right? Like, I think she kept nursing for a while, but like eventually she retired from that, right? Mm-hmm. Because she was a parent and she was around all the time. So I can't remember the time frame there when she went back to work or anything like that.
Yeah.
But the idea is that they wouldn't be able to do it now.
No.
Like, not on what dad made, as a preacher, right? Like a young preacher. And nowadays, I don't even know if they have the same structure for young preachers, right? So how that would even look.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for everybody.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, you have a family, dude.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
no, and it is. It's a struggle.
Yeah.
And I do, like, I mean, I recognize that when my dad was my age, or even younger than me, making, you know, decent money, mm-hmm. it went a lot further.
Yeah.
There's just no way to say it didn't.
Yeah. Well, because you
every statistic in the planet shows you that. And so, like, you know, that's the thing is, like, I remember working with a guy, like, 15 years ago now. And he was fresh out of university, and he was still living with his parents. And this was back when it was still like, oh, my God, you live with your parents and you're 20? Oh, my God, what's wrong with you,
loser? And now I encourage people to stay with their parents, yeah.
But he was saying, like, the whole goal was he worked for a year, save up enough money, and get his own condo.
Yeah.
Because he's just out of school, and now he's working. But he's like, but the house prices are going up faster than I can potentially ever save.
Yeah.
Even if I save all of my paycheck. Mm-hmm. Like, the prices were going up, like, you know, 20% a month at one point, right? And so it's like, there's that hopelessness. Like, he can't even get a one-bedroom condo without having to save up for 20 fucking years to get a down payment.
Yeah.
Just the way the prices were going, right?
Well, like, and that's, like, correlating what they were saying. There was, an article or maybe some reports were done about, like, the potential uptick in violence related to housing, right? Like in access, being able to access housing and permanent housing,
mm-hmm.
and buy houses and all that kind of stuff, that people are going to be more likely to be violent, right? Or to get aggressive, I think
it's violence, but
and I mean, but that's so we have and that's not the only thing that illustrates that that's what's coming. But like, Why aren't we stopping?
Yeah.
Before we get there, right? Like, because you and I, we can't stop it. We can't do it. I don't run a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
Yeah, like I can't build.
I'm not a part of fucking federal government of Canada or provincial or municipal. Yeah. But like, the reality is, what do they think we're going to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I do not advocate for violence. I do not.
No.
I do understand why people do it. That much I do understand, especially in these kinds of circumstances, right? Like, where you have anyone being pushed around long enough, you're going to push back. Like,
well, and it's unfortunate that in all of history, really the way to get government to really fucking wake up is through a violent uprising.
Yep.
And that's, it's the unfortunate side effect of this, is that governments squeeze and squeeze and squeeze until there's violence, then they get mad that there's violence. But it's like, yeah, but you know this is going to happen.
Because you keep squeezing.
It happens throughout history.
Yeah.
Because people will only take it for so long.
And so no wonder, and that's so like true, man. No wonder like North Americans are so afraid of communism.
Yeah.
Because in the history of communism upsets that apple cart, right?
Yeah.
And it always comes through violent revolution.
Well, and we're a society built on a society that went around the world dominating everybody.
Yeah.
And is afraid that that's what's going to happen should they ever let go of that power.
Well, and now it's more reasonable than ever that would happen because of how many necks they've fucking crushed.
Well, yeah, like, people are getting to the point where it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe a few of them can go. Like, you know, like, I keep saying to my wife, like, I think the idea of, like, the Punisher... Mm-hmm. Graphic novels and stuff, like, I think more and more people are just going to start like really enjoying those and those concepts of fighting back against this.
Might see an uptick in actual vigilanteism.
Yeah, right?
Is that what you say?
Vigilantism, but like more so directed at government policies, and I think you're going to start to see people going to more extremes because they've got no other way to get their voice heard.
Oh, man, I was...
You know, because they're shutting down places that you can use your voice. And,
I know.
You know, so, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Listening to people talk about it, about, like, potentially, like, picking up Molotovs.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, man, we're getting there. Yeah, because it wasn't even, like, me with them. I was just sitting there, like, waiting for a friend and heard them talking. And it was just like, okay, we're almost there, I guess, hey?
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, that's potentially what's going to happen. You keep stepping on people, man. And I don't know. It's like that. But there's still a part of our society that is okay with the bullies, right? So
absolutely.
And that is a very real thing. That's, and I mean, I guess when we look at what Israel's doing is kind of the same thing, right? Like, yeah. It's being a bully on a large scale, being a real bully.
Well, they're doing what Britain did.
And what America
and what France does. Did. Yeah. And what, you know...
U.S. does.
Pretty much every European country that went and over to Africa, yep. They did all that shit. They came here to North America and did the same thing.
Yep.
Just kill the people, steal the land.
Yep.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
So to a lot of people, that's what you do. That just is the most logical next step.
It's crazy to me that that still seems like an okay thing to do.
Right? I understand that at all. Yeah, man.
It's wild, and that's what it is, Darcy. It's that. It's wild to me that still seems like a viable way to, like, get yeah. by, right? Like, it still seems viable to a good percentage of people, even,
yep.
that's a viable way, a strategy for living.
Yes.
Is to continually take land from people so that you can enrich your own selves.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, and it's like, that's the disconnect for me, is because yep. I can't get there. I just can't. I'm like, look, man, if you need my shirt, I'll give you my shirt. Like, seriously, you don't yeah. have shoes. Have my shoes. Like... Because yeah. I know that in my privileged place, I will be able to get shoes.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, but that to me, that's what I think we're mostly missing, right? And it's kind of like one of the things that we've talked about before, and that we'll probably talk about lots, is that mutual aid stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because I encourage people to be a part of that, like in some way, like whether it's if it's helping us, that's great, but if it's helping yeah. each other, even better. Like, yeah. Yes, you can. Your support helps free counseling and other free services. But on top of that, like, or aside from that, there's probably people in your lives that might need help, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the things that that I started to think about this mutual aid stuff, because I've been getting more and more involved with it over the last like 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about it to like toot my horn. I'm talking about it because I didn't know how simple it would be
right.
to just incorporate that into my life, right? Like, because
yeah, yeah.
I was raised to think that I needed to get a tax receipt for all my donations.
Yes,
and if I wasn't getting a tax receipt,
yeah.
then it wasn't legit.
Right.
Right. But that's because if you don't have a tax receipt, you cannot claim it in your taxes.
Yes.
Right? But the reality is, look, we all have, if we are able to give, I just believe that's what we should do. Right. And
yep.
and because oftentimes many times when I was growing up would think, well, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can yep. do to make a change. But like, there's so many things we can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we all know people who might need a little hand
yeah.
from time to time. Right. Like,
right.
And I think like, well, I learned that from my parents, like for sure. I'm not,
yeah.
this isn't like I didn't create this idea.
No, and it's not a brand new philosophy
no.
of life. It's just that it is hard in our society to get to that realization almost now because
yeah.
we are really focused on making our own lives better
yep.
at the expense of others.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and sometimes not even knowing that's what it is. That
exactly.
it's at the expense, right? Because we're just,
yeah.
we get so focused on ourselves, which
yeah.
is what humans do. I do that too. I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm like a definitely woke or nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not trying to make it sound like I do these things perfectly. The idea is I'm just trying to make it sound like it's possible because I remember
yeah.
being like a young social worker thinking I can't fucking help anybody. Like
yeah.
there's just too much. It's like a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But there's stuff that we've been missing. And I think like I've been missing it because there was like a delay of some kind in understanding of how to actually be of use to each other.
Yes.
Right? Like which
yeah, yeah.
there's lots of ways to do it. One of the ways is just to be like of use to your friends and family. Like why
yeah.
not? Right? Like if we all started there, we'd probably be better off. But of course
yeah, absolutely.
We're also in a culture here, and you mentioned it, the coalition of like provincial force treatment.
Right?
So what I'm about to say is what I'm saying is going in direct conflict with probably what a lot of people believe.
Yeah.
Right? Is because what I'm saying is we do need some shelters. We do need some of those things.
Yes.
So we also need our people who are just gonna like help each other, right? Regardless
yes.
of whether there's a organization involved, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying is that the young social worker in me who thought it's a Band-Aid on a bullet hole, then slowly discovered through obviously realizing what his parents had taught him was to just simply be of use to everyone as much as you can, right?
Like, yeah.
And if you have something, you give it. And if you,
yeah. like,
those kinds of things. And so, does that sound weird, man?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because like, I'm just trying to articulate this, and I don't think I've ever articulated it, like,
yeah.
in long form, right? Where...
Well, and I think a lot of people put expectations on how they help.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't fix that person...
Or you can't get something back from it.
Yeah, then I don't know if it's worth doing. But the truth is, but maybe you just make that person more comfortable for a couple more days. That not good enough?
I think so.
And maybe that couple of days might help that person. Yeah. Maybe they may need a couple more days of help after that. But it's like, I guess that's like it's the harm reduction mentality of like, okay, we can cure people by waving a magic wand.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can go, you know what? It's really going to be cold tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get you some warm clothes so you can survive another day.
Yeah, well, and that's...
And then we can maybe do something tomorrow to get you another half step forward.
If you want.
If you're ready for that, right? And so I think that's the... I think a lot of people got to get out of that, like, it's all or nothing. Well, and that's when you say, like, it's the Band-Aid on the bullet hole. Like, I thought that way, too, for so many years.
Yeah.
Even up to probably pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
But it's realizing that and starting to understand that harm reduction doesn't just mean clean needles and give them free drugs. It means...
Nope.
Reducing all of the harms, the environmental harms, the
emotional.
Harshness of the life they're living, to make them feel like somebody does actually give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's going to change people's lives.
And to remind them, exactly, to remind them that they're valuable whether they're using drugs or not.
Yeah, like
right?
There's that human touch that we all want. I mean, why do people want spouses?
Mm-hmm.
To have somebody to come home to at the end of the day.
Yeah.
To have that human connection.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as you can start giving that to people, I think that's more valuable than anything.
Well, and when we talk about like doing things like the Band-Aid over the bullet hole, what I'm saying is it's all Band-Aids.
Yes.
They're all Band-Aids over really big problems.
Yes.
And the idea is that, like you said, when we start to address reducing all of the harms or as many potential harms as we can identify, let's just say that, right? Like, we start addressing those things, emotional harms.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how are people emotionally harmed? Well, usually it's when people, like, ignore them, call them names.
Yeah,
like,
Say,
talk shit to them. Like,
you
know, try to force them into change, do things like that, right? Like,
treat them like the scourge of
world. Treat them like the scourge of the world. Like, treat them like we'd all be better off without them because we wouldn't be.
Or, you know, have to videotape them while you give them a pizza.
Yeah.
Like, that makes people feel really good about their lives.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But like, we're a society of exploiters, though.
Like,
There's
absolutely.
There's absolutely no question that's going to be a part of our exploitation, right?
Yeah.
We just don't look at things like that. We just look at it like, what's the value?
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
What can I make off of this?
Which is a shame, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, like, and even having said that, there was a part of my young career where I thought that was... okay if people agreed to do it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, for sure.
But the truth is, I didn't know back then. What I know now is it was my responsibility to think about that and to be mindful for them, right?
Yeah,
to be like, wait a second, should I, should we, I won't say I because it wasn't just me, but should we, if we call it something else, is it something else? Like, right? Should we... Even because they've agreed, our clients have agreed to be televised, like, is it ethically and morally still okay to do it?
Yeah.
Well, my answer now is no.
Yeah,
but back then, it would have been, like, probably okay, because they have consent and all those different things.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it that way anymore. Because I think, like, once you start to realize that the end result is not worth exploiting people over.
Yeah,
Right? And if I have to, like, if I feel like I'm doing that, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not saying people are doing that out there. But sometimes it does seem like there's a little exploitation going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Well,
so,
yeah.
And so I know that I'm probably guilty of it, too. Like, and I know I have been in my life. But it's like our job is to identify what we need to do differently, right?
Yeah.
As we get older, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's part of our job. Or maybe the real job is to like see how long you can hold on to all your bullshit. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. what were we talking about?
Oh, shit, man. I don't know. I'm starting to think about two grumpy guys sitting here on a podcast.
Yeah, totally. And I'm starting to think that we should go eat.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did we just talk about, though? Should we just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just fucking
end it. We'll just call it there, man.
Yeah, we'll call it there.
It was good. I think we kind of ended it where we needed it anyway, so...
And so I guess if you edit the end of this, then thank you all for listening to this, like, ramble on. I just realized it's been, like, an hour and a half.
Yep.
And you have all listened. Probably not the whole time.
But if you did, good on you.
Good on you.
Right?
And good
you
on
really
ya.
Stuck it out there.
Yeah, you stuck it out, and we appreciate
and
you.
And we covered like 900 topics in different forms.
And we went all over the place. Yeah, man, thanks for sitting down.
Yeah, but it was a good conversation, man. I really did enjoy it, actually.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the fact that we can talk about these things as time goes on, and I don't have to get super mad. Like, I mean, because the truth is I am mad about these things.
Absolutely.
And I think we all should be mad.
Yep.
But I don't want it to seem like I'm always angry. I'm not.
Well, no, and you can't let it burn you up. And honestly, in a lot of ways, I'm more sad than I am angry almost.
I think that's what I fluctuate between, man.
Yeah.
It's like that really deep sadness for fellow humans.
Yeah, and like we're still doing this shit.
Yeah, we're still doing this shit, man. Like,
yeah.
You know?
And like, I'm just sad as a species.
Yeah.
We haven't figured this out yet.
And of course, it makes me angry when there's bullies, right?
Yeah,
and
for sure.
You know, and we have a world that's just like... hell-bent on letting bullies run it, man.
Yeah.
Like, it seems that way.
Absolutely.
And so, anyway, if you're out there, take care of yourselves.
Yes.
Take care of your friends and family. And,
yeah.
And whatever you got to do there. And, oh, yeah, that's what I was talking about with the mutual aid stuff.
Right,
We're going to be fighting against the idea that mutual aid is enabling.
Yeah.
Okay? And you're going to come into conflict with that idea. It's okay to be in conflict with your ideas, first of all. I think it's what free people should be, is in conflict with their ideas, especially when things start to maybe look like maybe I could change my mind, right?
Sure.
Like, but that idea of enabling, that's so that we don't continually help each other.
Yep.
So the enabling thing comes from, like, it's more therapeutic, right? Where it's like, you don't want to enable bad behavior.
For sure.
That's the idea.
Yep.
But remember, when someone says you're enabling, that is making a judgment of the behavior,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so we are responsible for how we live with each other.
Yeah.
This is one thing that I've learned as a 49, almost 50-year-old man,
yep.
is that everything that we do,
yep.
we will feel, right?
Absolutely.
If we're capable of feeling it, we will at some point.
Yep.
And so I'm just realizing in my own life that I really need to do things differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because... if I'm really wanting to feel different, I got to do different.
Yes.
Right? And that means often for me, and not for everybody, but often for me, it means, you know, questioning my biases and my ignorance, right?
Like absolutely, where, yeah.
And just letting it be okay that I'm ignorant and that I have biases. Not okay in the sense that I'm going to leave them alone, but okay that it's okay to not keep living there.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I
always look at it like that's what we were taught.
Yep.
And it's okay to let go of some of that stuff.
Totally, right?
You know?
Like, it's just okay to let it go.
And
it's not like personal to the people who taught you these things. Like,
no, not at all.
That's
what they learned. And then.
Yeah, it's just about, like, if something doesn't fit, it's okay to, like, try to find something that fits.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, it's not, you know, like, I know they keep saying that. If you don't fit in, that's because of you. Well, that's a good thing. Right?
Yeah.
Because there was a time when, and we'll close with this, but there was a time when someone in a subculture of people said, we knew he wasn't like us, and they were talking about me.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling so happy when I heard that, because
right
I thought, you know what? I'm absolutely not like you. And it was one of those things that reminded me, even though I was terrified because I had done something very scary. To get to that point, right, where I had turned in some cops, right? And they said, one of them said, oh, I knew he wasn't like us. And I heard that, and I was so, like, my heart was warm.
Wow.
Right? Because he is so right. Like,
yeah.
so not like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, if you're out there thinking I was never like you, you're right. I was never really like you.
Yeah, yeah.
Not if you hate people.
Yeah, if you, exactly.
And if you thought that I was with you in that, you're wrong. Like, you were absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Right on, man.
Thanks, Darcy. Let's go eat, dude.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right.